to Vacation Station, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigLensMagazine.com.
Welcome, everybody, on today's Big Lens Radio Vacation Station Travel Show. Nancy and I are very excited to focus our attention back on Natchitoches, Louisiana, one of our very favorite places on the planet.
For sure.
Seriously, we could live there. We could, you know.
Absolutely.
We travel full-time on our Love Your Parks tour, but this is one of those places in our top 10 list of, if we ever stop, this is like one of the places.
Yeah.
They have meat pies. They have amazing people. They have amazing nature areas, so much history. They have Cane River Lake. It is beautiful. And when we think about, we're in the heart of spring right now and going into summer, I know it gets warm, and every time we're there, it's in July, and
like
we've had
it.
A blast. I know. It is, the nature is beautiful. It is just awesome. I encourage you to go to the website, Natchitoches.com. And so if you have not heard our shows on Natchitoches and have not been to Natchitoches, it's Natchitoches.com, Natchitoches, right? But it is Natchitoches, how you pronounce it, but it's Natchitoches.com is a website to go to. Natchitoches is, you know, the oldest settlement in the state of Louisiana. It is part of the no man's land where at one point there was no law and order for 3 years back in the day, way, way back when, and talk about history. It's also home to the Cane River National Heritage Area that just, like, takes over so much land and has all kinds of historic sites like Cane River, Creole National Historical Park, Melrose Plantation, all these historic sites. But, again, Cane River Lake, Kisatchie National Forest. Anyway, I'll just go on and on. I love it there. There's the Natchitoches Downtown Historic District that you're going to want to do. Also, the home of the – they have a film trail over Steel Magnolias and all kinds of other movies that were filmed there. So it's really, really cool, and they have meat pies. Again,
it's a mix of upcoming young and vibrant and not forgetting history. That's really, really, really hard to do.
It's culturally diverse, and everyone gets along, and it's a big old party. They do know how to celebrate in Natchitoches. On today's show, we're excited. We're going to talk about what to do at the end of spring, going into summer, and we have three special guests joining us. I'm sure you all have heard. Arlene Gould and Kelly West, both from the Natchitoches Convention and Visitor Bureau, are joining us. Go to Natchitoches.com, Natchitoches.com. We're also excited to have Richard Johnson join us. And he is, oh, my gosh, this is one of our special places. We went to the last trip last year in summer. Carolyn Dorman Nature Preserve, also known as Briarwood. Yeah. And go to that website. It's briarwoodnp.org. But let's bring Arlene on first. Arlene, how are you doing?
Hi, y'all.
Hey.
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Oh, it's good to have you back on the show. And how are you doing, Miss Kelly?
I'm great. How are y'all?
We're all doing good. You know what? I think we need to come back through. Like, we did drive across over Shreveport and, like, waved at you at, like, 3 in the morning or something the other day, a couple weeks ago.
Hey,
like,
y'all.
Hey, y'all. I know. And we're just like, well, they're there, and we want to say hi, but we had to keep going. But it's really good to have you both back on the show, and also very excited. We've wanted Richard on the show for, like, since we first met him at Briarwood, and this is just an exceptional park with an exceptional story of conservation and nature and an amazing woman, Carolyn Dorman. So welcome, Richard. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, listen, the only better thing is if we were actually at the preserve with you right now, right, on a picnic.
Absolutely.
If all of us were at a picnic right now, that would be super cool,
and today would be the perfect day for it.
It would. It's been an absolutely gorgeous day today.
Oh, no. Well, that's awesome. We'd like to hear that. It's interesting because I know over the last year, Louisiana has had all kinds of weather, hurricanes. It was a tornado a couple years, Richard, before that. But
yeah.
Natchitoches doesn't, like, Natchitoches just stands strong and is like, no, we're not going down with this. We're going to still, you know, just keep rocking and rolling. Pandemic comes, nah, we're just going to keep rocking and rolling and eat pies and have a good time. And then you got a little snow over there. So, like, Richard, the preserve has gone through so many changes I'm wondering what your summer is going to look like in regards to plant species. I mean, I wonder if you're going to get new ones that you haven't seen yet.
We have. As a matter of fact, last year, toward the latter part of summer, I, in preparation for mowing the roadside, I was looking at the different plants, and I noticed one I'd not seen before. So did a little investigation. Come to find out, it is a globally rare, extremely rare plant. Its common name is barbed rattlesnake root, and it's only found, it's about, there's only about 30 to 70 known colonies worldwide.
Wow.
And it is a native of this area, but because the forests have grown back up is probably one of the reasons why you don't see it that much. It needs more sunlight, and it popped up and surprised us last year.
Oh,
wow,
cool.
This is so
cool. Well, you know, Nancy and I went through a lot of wildfires when we lived in Southern California, especially in the mountain town of Julian up in the mountains. And, I mean, it was, what, 7 fires in a year and a half we evacuated from big ones. And the last one was really devastating. But going through that, we watched the land change. And all these different species came back. And they actually came back quicker. And this year, we are in Texas. And as we record this right now, we're in Texas. And we've been to a number of parks. We've been to the Hill Country. Right now, we're in Lubbock. We've been to Dallas. We've been everywhere, man. Seriously.
We've been everywhere, man.
But they went through this huge freeze, and I've talked to a lot of homeowners and people going, oh, my gosh, my garden, my garden. And right now, even we're looking at where we are right now, and you can see things coming back. It's slower. And we have been out on trails and parks and seen wildflowers come back. And people are like, oh, we didn't know that these existed. And they thought everything was going to be done and over with. So I think places like Briarwood remind us of the resiliency of nature. You know, we still have to protect her, right, and be kind to her and respectful. However, you know, when nature does its thing, and it's devastating to human beings, but nature, I think, wants things to come back around in a cycle. So that's kind of neat for where you are at the preserve to be able to witness that, even though it's hard work. I know you've been through a lot of hard work.
It is. It's kind of tough. You know, when you see 150-year-old trees lying tossed about at will, and you look at that and go, oh, my. But then the next year you see all the new growth that has come up, these new rare plants that have popped up, and so forth. So we just have to – we're along for the ride. We just sit back and watch what nature do, what nature does.
It's like a seed bank. You know, and the seed bank is deep, like it could go 10, 15, 25 feet under the ground, and depending on the weather, the climate, and how, and the wind, which like, oh, let's take topsoil over there, and then that suddenly these plants
can come
up. You
can tell we've been
because,
in Texas.
Well, no, but I mean, it is really going according to Mama Nature, not according to man.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know, so you got to take your hat off to Mama.
Mama's in charge.
She is. And listen, I travel with my mom, and trust me, no matter what I do, I'm in charge. She's in charge. Well, I want to back up here for those, you know, for their first time listening to Big Blend Radio and hearing about Natchitoches, because it is really a unique, special place. Arlene, give us a little overview of where Natchitoches is, because you're Northwest, you've got the university, but just this incredible heritage area that you have, too. I mean, when you think about where people, nature, and history connect, this is, and good food, and music.
So cool.
Sorry, the music. And a good party. Let me just go and. But Natchitoches is really unique, and I know you've traveled as well all over the place, across the country, around the world. But Natchitoches is special with its location.
Oh, thank
and
you.
That it holds on to everything, its heritage and integrity of it.
We're very proud of our community, and you know that. But Natchitoches is actually located off of Interstate 49, approximately 75 miles south of Shreveport, Louisiana, and about 50 miles north of Alexandria, Louisiana. So we're in the northwest part of the state, and we are home to Northwestern State University, which was founded in 1884. Natchitoches celebrated its tricentennial year in 2014, and we are the oldest settlement in the Louisiana Purchase Territory. Older than New Orleans. I was telling somebody today that came in that had been here for the first time. They were from Wilmington, North Carolina, and they said, "We've never been here. This is so cool. I love all the history and the culture. Y'all just have everything just so beautiful, and, you know, how the plants are downtown and everything looks, you know, pretty pristine." And I said, "Well, you know, I like to tease because we're so old, but we still look pretty good considering our age." And but now we take pride in our community, and I think our residents and the residents, you know, realize the importance of preserving and preservation, and our visitors certainly do appreciate it and recognize it. So
yeah, we do.
And one thing I want to touch on real quick, because we haven't done this on the last shows, is you're also you're part of the El Camino.
El Camino Real.
Tejas, National Historic Trail that ends. It goes from like beyond. It goes from Mexico to San Antonio. It has all these little spurs that go in and out. And I think we went part. I mean, if we were in Austin, I think we went through part of it too. And it goes all the way up to Natchitoches, Louisiana, and it does go through Natchitoches, Texas. So you're part of that historic trail, but also
we are.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. You're on a roll. All roads lead to Natchitoches.
I know. I'm always on the roll with you guys, man. I could just sit here and talk for hours about how much I love Natchitoches. It's ridiculous. Like, you know, people are going to get jealous. But honestly, Jefferson Highway is this other route that is, you know, it's been there. It's historic. And I think this is very important when we keep these historic highways. And Nancy and I travel on these historic corridors all the time. And some towns really wanted corridors, didn't get them, or lost them, and you can lose this history very easily if you don't acknowledge what you have in your backyard. Mm-hmm. And Jefferson Highway, I didn't even know this was a historic highway until our last visit with you, and you were talking about you have a park, but there's a whole coalition. So you've got a new park, and you've got a highway. Like, but this is an old highway, but you're putting it on that map.
Well, that's true. The El Camino Real, we are part of the Caddo region from Natchitoches to Natchitoches. It's approximately 100 miles, you know, in that region. But, yes, it does go all the way to Mexico City. So that's a historic trail. But way before the Jefferson Highway, actually in 1915, over 100 years ago, from Winnipeg, Canada, all the way through the Louisiana Purchase Territory and ending in New Orleans, the Jefferson Highway Association was formed to create roads, paved roads, or, you know, for all these cars that were rolling off the assembly line but had no roads to drive on. And so they basically, it was the first intercontinental highway to run north and south. And it does go through 17 parishes here in Louisiana, intersecting with several of our Louisiana trails and byways. So all the way from Winnipeg, Canada, down to New Orleans through the Louisiana Purchase Territory was the Jefferson Highway. And that was even before numbered highways, and, of course, interstates came after that. So, a lot of people are surprised, you know, to learn more about the Jefferson Highway when they realize that the highway goes right through their communities. And even when they had the 100-year anniversary in 2015, two young men came through Natchitoches. They were doing a documentary on it. And we have Jefferson Street, which, of course, has where Fort St. John Baptiste is and several of our historic homes and bed and breakfast, including the Steel Magnolia House and LeMay House. And it's on Jefferson Street, and then we realize, well, Jefferson Street was the Jefferson Highway. And so we did. We did a new pocket park directly next to Fort St. John Baptiste State Historic Site and made it a pocket park, and it's right on the Jefferson Highway or on Jefferson Street. So it's a new Jefferson Street pocket park. So rather interesting.
Cool.
But, we do have, we're you know, kind of incorporating our Louisiana partners. We've created itineraries from Shreveport down to Louisiana all along the way, stops along the way on the old Jefferson Highway, and to bring them to these communities. But then, of course, you know, like I said, it goes all the way up to Winnipeg, Canada, so come on down.
Nancy,
you know?
Mm-hmm. We need to go up and down. We need to do it.
Well,
let's do it.
You're making me think about my grandmother who had a 1912 Ford little car. 1912,
wow.
Like, yeah.
It sure was 1912?
Yes, and she drove it from California to Canada and back.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And she's, and her husband was deaf.
Wow, I'm looking at him now.
Deaf, so
he
wouldn't drive. And so she did. And she was only 4'9", and she was like, she told me stories.
Don't mess
about
with her.
When the car broke down, like, she had a flat tire, and at that point, the tires were not like we have tires now. But, she made all the kids hold hands across the highway for hours until they physically made the next car stop.
Oh,
she
wow.
Yeah, and no, she's like, no, this is how we're doing it. She was a little spitfire, man. She was so cool.
She was. She's my nana, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder if she did that. I wonder if she did that route, dude. Like, seriously. I know. I'm calling my mother,
she did.
Dude. That's so wrong.
Because she was like, she got, once she got the, as she called it, I got wheels. When she got the wheels, she just like, no, I'm not sitting home. I'm taking, and she had four children. And she took
wow.
them everywhere.
She's on a motorcycle, too. She was one of the first women
yes,
to ride a motorcycle.
She was one of the first women to ride a motorcycle.
But Nancy,
oh,
I don't know. Listen, you put us on a motorcycle, and they lean in, we lean out.
Like,
so it's like, we're stupid. Like, I should be so disappointed. But, like, look at what we're doing now. So it's cool. But this Jefferson Highway thing, I think it's really cool that you guys honor the history. And it's interesting you talk about your tourism partners going down through from Shreveport down. And, Kelly, that brings me to No Man's Land. This is really a historic belt of Louisiana, and it's really unique. And you guys have been so – I think it was like 3-year celebration. I know COVID may have put some damper on things, but are you still mm-hmm. celebrating No Man's Land, Kelly? And you want to give everyone a little overview of No Man's Land because it's fascinating how many historic sites and how much you can do.
And eat your
yes,
way through Louisiana.
Certainly, yes. It started as a 3-year celebration because mm. it was technically a no man's land for 3 years before it was ratified and joined into the Louisiana Purchase Territories. But we've decided we're going to continue the celebration. And so
I love it.
Moving forward, this is a new thing that we are promoting in these 7 parishes along the west side of Louisiana. And, yes, Louisiana has parishes, not counties. So when you hear parish, say parish, it's not the church parish. It is a county-style entity.
Cool.
But there are 7 parishes along the west side of Louisiana that were not originally part of the Louisiana Purchase Territory. They were considered a no-man's land, a neutral strip between the Louisiana Purchase Territory in Spanish Texas, and it was a disputed zone. They weren't really sure who it belonged to for a while, but it became a land of outlaws and in-laws and crooks
cool.
and straight. Oh, wait, that's the country song. But
Kelly's doing the best explanation of this I've heard. Like, honestly, I am going to write a song off of this.
No, there should be a movie called No Man's Land.
And yeah. There definitely should be because, you know, we did. We had outlaws. It was, you know, just south in,
cool.
part of Natchitoches Parish that is part of No Man's Land. It's Robeline, which is the small town now. But at the time, that was the boundary, so it was known as Robber's Line. Because if you went through there, we're going to get robbed. And so, and the name evolved into Robeline. And so, you know, that's part of our little piece there. But there were, you know, people lived there. There was no law, no order. You know, they just kind of did their own thing. They were very much pioneers in the area. And so a lot of the families still have descendants that live in that area. And, you know, but also down around the Lake Charles area, that's read the legends and the folklore. The pirates come in because sometimes
yeah,
they come in and they like dash their gold in there. Exactly, because there was no law, so they could come in and do that. But it did eventually become part of the Louisiana Purchase Territory. But it makes it a very unique and fun part of Louisiana with a really cool history. And so we've, you know, joined together to promote that area through a couple of different ways. And one of them is a product that we are just launching called a gas station food trail. You know, Louisiana's known for food, and
I've been at
one of them. But you can guess which one.
The French Express by Sharp Hotel, like the Hotel Circle. Let's just call it Hotel Circle in Natchitoches, right? You got the Holiday Inn, you got the Best Western, you got the Pizza, you got everything there. And now you've got, like, and Comfort Inn, right? You got Comfort Inn there, too.
Yes.
And and then French Express. Listen, everybody.
Yes.
It is not just a gas station. It's a good gas station. You actually, you know when you go to a gas station and they don't give you the stuff to really clean your windshield and do all, no, they take care of you. And you go inside, and if you're staying in the hotel, you just walk over. Everything in that store, you can get gifts, you can get wine, very important, and then they have the fried food section, meat pot. Remember that one night?
Oh, yeah.
We ended up with a little bit of everything.
That was so good.
Everything.
I want one.
Sorry,
now.
Kelly. Sorry, we get excited.
No, exactly. Well, and that's the thing is, you know, food in Louisiana. Louisiana's known for our food, but we have all of these really amazing, nice gas stations that serve incredible food. I mean, from fried ribs, fried pork chops, to yam cake, to salads, to, you know, ice cream, to pizzas, to tamales. All of these things can be found at these roadside food places all along the highway. And so that's part of the story that we're telling for No Man's Land is that roadside food stop where you can get really amazing food in a gas station. How fun is that?
And Zwally tamales. Out in Zwally.
Exactly.
And they're not tamales you would get in the Southwest. Like here, your tamales are like Christmas time and big. That these are like different, man. And it's kind of like a blend of cultures, like mostly going indigenous peoples, you know, tamales. And this is what's so cool about this whole area. And No Man's, is it visit No Man's Land, nomansland.com or .org? What's the website for?
Yeah, okay. Visit nomansland.com.
Go there. I mean, really, and Lake Charles and all the way up, great places. And I wanted to bring this in, too, because Coosatchee National Forest almost is like your connecting unit. And Toledo Bend with the Sabine River and that whole area, the reservoir, those are kind of like big connectors between East Texas and Louisiana. But then Coosatchee National Forest is the only national forest in Louisiana. How is that doing? I know after the hurricanes, Kelly, that are people able to hike in there again? What are we like?
Yeah, I believe that all the trails and camping areas are now back open. I think they made that announcement a few weeks ago. Yeah, because even, you know, obviously hurricanes came through and then the ice storm damaged some, you know, other areas. And so, but all of them are back open. The hiking trails are back open. The ATV trails will be back open very shortly because they only open seasonally and they're not quite into their season yet. But, yes, everything's open and operating, and they're welcoming visitors back into Coosatchee.
Well, let's party, man. Well, this, I'm excited about this. You guys know it's a favorite place, but talking about Coosatchee National Forest brings us back to Richard. Richard over at Briarwood, also Carolyn Dorman, Nature Preserve. It's a national historical place, so it is on the register. It's an important place to visit. But Carolyn Dorman, she's going to end up on some of our interactive story maps. One is as an author. She's an author. She is a teacher. She is an amazing human being. But her ties do go back to Coosatchee National Forest, right, Richard, just so people know who she is.
That is correct. Carolyn Dorman is considered to be the mother of Coosatchee National Forest. It was through her valiant efforts that after the clear cutting of the early 1900s that the state of Louisiana changed its laws to allow the purchase of private land for public use, and they were able to purchase up the lands. Of course, timber companies were happy to sell it. It wasn't worth anything to them at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And they bought up thousands of acres, which we now know mm-hmm. today as Kisatchie National Forest. And because of her drive to mm-hmm. see this through, she was given the naming rights to the forest, and she named it Kisatchie after the Kichai, I believe I got that right, the Kichai Indians of the area who call themselves Kisatchie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that part of it.
But that's interesting because a lot of people would have named it after themselves.
Mm-hmm. That was not her. That was
yeah,
not Caroline Dolan. She was not one to, she wasn't a glory hog. She loved to educate people. She loved to make sure that people knew the importance of nature and that it was important to reforest, replant the forest after the massive logging operations that had taken place. So as a result of that, we now have Kisatchie.
Well, I want to also talk about with her because it's called Caroline Dorman Nature Preserve, but it's also Briarwood. Like when you go in, you've got the big gate thing at the top. Like, you know, it's kind of like reminiscent of the old school national parks with the way the gate is when you go in, you know, that
mm-hmm.
whole sign like Briarwood. So what is Briarwood about? And because you do have two names.
We do
why
have
not?
Two names. The official name is the Caroline Dorman Nature Preserve. It is also called Briarwood, which is the name that her grandparents gave the cotton plantation that they had here. They moved here from Barnwell County, South Carolina in 1859 and established an upland cotton plantation. And they called it, they named it after their plantation over in Barnwell County. They named it Briarwood when they got here, too. So that's why we have two names.
Also, when you talk about the clear cutting, am I remembering correct when you took us on a walking tour, which was amazing, because to me there was, like, so many different micro climates, like different, the biodiversity was just in full flux, you know, and it went, it just, you had the bog area with frogs and stuff, which is so cool, and we saw spiders, we saw all kinds of, you know, all kinds of cool stuff, and you guys, we're going to be making a video of this, because there's some cool stuff. I'm just bummed we didn't see a snake. I don't know if Kelly wanted to see one, but.
So we had a visitor levitate over one the other day, so.
Oh, wow. Oh, levitation. You got a levitation station going on. That's good.
Almost, it was a very small, one of the very small ringneck snakes, and he almost stepped on it, and he took that little extra push off with his back leg and managed to avoid stepping on it. And, of course, I had to pick it up and show it to everybody.
Oh, there you go. See
Lisa, you did that the other day.
I know I did that, and we went to Big Thicket.
Oh, you did
National.
Like this, like, I'm like, Lisa, a snake, and she did a jig.
You didn't say snake. You said, Lisa, like she does this. When she saw a tarantula in a park one time, she just goes, and I'm like, what? And she couldn't come up with the word tarantula, and it was this giant tarantula. And then she's telling me to get down and film it, like down on the ground.
Yeah,
right next
down
to it. I'm like,
No.
But then there was a snake in Big Thicket. This has been a bucket list of mine to go to Big Thicket. And this snake, we're walking through the bog areas and everything, and it's still kind of wintry going into early spring. So we're kind of not in the, you know, the gator's going to bite your butt or snake's going to get you yet, but there was a snake. And it was tiny, and it looked, I mean, I'll send this photo to you, Richard, because it's so neat. It's a brown snake, what they call a brown snake. I was looking at it on the iNaturalist and everything, and it looked, I mean, exactly
cool.
Like a pine needle. The color, the weight.
It was so
cool. Do you get them? I mean, you've got to.
Yeah.
That close.
We have them too here. It's the little brown earth snake.
Yeah. They're so cute.
They are.
This is cool. But I want to go back to, okay, so I know because some people are going, I'm not going to go there because of snakes. Listen, go with Richard. You'll be fine. It's okay. You've got to learn that.
Absolutely.
Part of our natural ecosystem. And that's part of going to places like Briarwood is learning so that you don't have the big fear, right, Richard? Isn't that part of
absolutely.
The whole thing of Briarwood is to have that education?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we're about. We do an educational presentation on our tours. It's a historical and botanical tour of the property. And as we travel along, You know, we talk about whatever the visitor happens to see that flits by, a deer, a squirrel, a pileated woodpecker, or any other bird that comes by. And so we just try to make it as fun and educational as possible for the visitor.
When we talk about Kisatchie National Forest and then also this forest where Briarwood, where, you know, it's a replanting, right, and she really tried to save everything. I remember something about, like, there was a small portion of it being old growth, right? Wasn't there just, like, one or a few trees? Am I getting this right or wrong about that there was a portion of Briarwood where it was old growth, or am I thinking back to Kisatchie?
No, you are correct. There is a stretch here on the preserve that is old growth timber, and that is things that are, by today's standards, we consider anything pretty much over 100 years to be old growth. And unfortunately, the tornado wiped out some of our old growth hardwood stand, but we got new growth, regrowth of hardwoods and pines that are coming along to fill that in very nicely. But as you come through the front gate, there's some 100 to 150-year-old pines there. And then along the Sparta Road portion of the trails, there's some others that are in the 100 to 200-year range.
And you know, nature has this, like, thing. Mama Nature is not on the same clock we're on.
No.
She's not. You know, and we're like all rushing ahead and doing this, doing that. We're all like busy like ants. We're, everything has to be fast and instant. And Mama Nature goes, you know what, I'm going to think it over and take my time.
Absolutely. And even as bad as the tornado area looks, it's teeming with new life.
Yeah.
I've seen bobcat tracks in there. We've seen more of the songbirds. The migratory birds hang around longer because they've got food and shelter out there. This past year, the indigo buntings, we had hundreds of them that stayed throughout the summer.
Now we only see
a few because it's not before it was forest, it was not their choice of habitat. Now it's open, they love it, and they hang around for a long time because they've got plenty of food and shelter and areas to build a nest.
See, Mama Nature sent them an email.
Louisiana is one of the best places for bird watchers to go. Honestly, you get shorebirds, you get swampy birds, you know, waterfowl, you get seagulls, you get everything. I mean, everything. In bald eagles, raptors, everything. And so, like, when you go into, like, Kisatchie, you go to a bayou, just drive down the road and pull over, you'll see turtles, terrapins, or all kinds of, yeah, I mean, it's all there. Gators, it's cool. It's like, if you're a nature person, this summer, I encourage you to get out. Kelly, you get out there and kayak, right, out in Cane River Lake?
Yes, certainly do.
And
it's perfect for it, too, because there's no current. It's a steel lake, so it's perfect to get out there in a kayak or on a paddleboard and just move up and down. And you do sometimes have wind to deal with, but other than that, it's an easy float.
You don't have wind until you have a hurricane. Listen, Texas, you got wind. You have wind. I'm sorry, but Arlene, I know Arlene. She's not kayaking. She's getting on the boat, right? Arlene likes her boat trip with her wine. I know. She doesn't usually drink wine, but she'll have her little wine at on a boat trip, right? That's your thing?
That's it. My little motorized boat, huh? Let the boat do the work. We went on, what was it, the Cane River Queen. That's right.
Yeah.
We went paddle wheeling
so
down the Cane River.
That was so
amazing.
Much
you saw all kinds of birds and, you know, waterfowl and, you know, just, you know, egrets and herons and, you know, super cool. So this was like, and then you can go to a brewery later if you want to cool down. You know, it's really good.
Right.
On the boat, you just do the Queen's wave to people on the shore, and they wave, and you do the Queen's wave. You're like, hi, I'm special.
That's why they call the Cane River Queen.
That's it. Well, Nancy, you know, there you go, girl.
But
I want to go back to Richard on Carolyn Dorman too, because she's a really I want to like do a story on her because she's so fascinating. She was a teacher. She also drew, and I remember being in the one cabin that was where her home was, right, on the property, seeing drawings. And so she was drawing, like she was doing botanical drawings. It wasn't just writing. She was into art. She was totally immersed in nature. So, she, I mean, we look at her as an author. We also need to look at her as a documentarian, right, of nature for Louisiana.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was quite an accomplished artist. She took a degree in art and literature from Judson College for Women in Marion, Alabama. But my thinking is it just enhanced the natural God-given gift that she had as an artist. She just got the absolute finest of detail in her work. Her preferred medium was Japanese watercolor, and that's because I think because you can get the most subtle nuances of color to match the natural, the plant itself. And she authored and illustrated all of her books. There was one book, the Southern Indian Boy book, was a collaborative effort with an Indian artist by the name of A.C. Blue Eagle. But the rest of them, all the plant and bird books that she did, she illustrated each and every one herself.
Wow.
Quite an accomplished artist in her own right.
Mm. What about Virginia, her sister? Because she lived on the property, too.
Miss Virginia was older than Miss Carrie by 12 years. Miss Virginia was the business mind. Miss Carrie was the artist, the author, the person. She was not interested in those things. Miss Virginia.
This is
also
a balancing equation here.
Yeah.
It, well, it really was. Because, like I say, Miss Carrie, her focus was on nature and the things that she had going on. Miss Virginia was the one that kind of oversaw the finances and kept the books in check and kept them in food money. They were not wealthy by any stretch of the imagination. And my daddy always liked to say, if Caroline Dorman had two nickels to rub together, she'd have bought a 10-cent plant. So, it was all about nature and getting people to understand the importance of nature and our environment and restoring it.
So when do we get to stay in that other cabin on the property? Like there's that other cabin, not her house, but, you know, the other cabin. You know what I'm talking about, that little retreat.
I know which one you're talking about.
Come on, when do we get to stay there?
Come on.
Just one night.
Y'all go.
I had to wait till we did the radio show so it could be public.
Yeah, so they kept that out. That's it.
You put him on the spot. For special people,
we don't rent it out, so... But
we're special.
If you want to come out and do articles and write-ups and broadcasts about Briarwood, y'all come. We'll
make a video.
For biologists and everything that go there, right? It's a working cabin. Yeah.
It is a working cabin, for sure. And,
cool.
So we've had professors come out and, do research on the spotted salamanders. We've had writers come out and spend time up there and working on their craft and so forth like that. So, yeah.
So, no,
well,
next
we'll,
I want
we'll
that and then
make
we'll
a video.
And then we'll come run out to Arlene's house for dinner because Arlene was
right. We're going to need it.
I like to cook. I mean, I like to eat.
Well, she knows how to cook, let me tell you. She's like, seriously, like, that's it. It was like, we're going to Natchitoches. We love all the things, and we're like, but we want to go to Arlene's house, too. She should be on the map. I'm just saying. Yeah, I don't know when Arlene's Cafe is opening up, but it needs to open up at some point. I'm just saying. Good food
on our map in Louisiana. Just go Arlene's house.
I know. Arlene's Cafe.
I think all Louisianians like to cook, but more importantly, they like to eat.
But I think this is, like I keep saying over and over, there's a hospitality that happens in Natchitoches and the friendliness,
totally
and, you know, that's amazing. what, you know, one of our highlights, and I know it's probably not ready this year, maybe next year. I haven't talked to Dr. Shane Rasmussen yet, and I want to because we still have all this amazing footage from the Folk Festival, the 14th mm-hmm. annual one. It is still truly one of the highlights of my life, that event.
That's so cool.
Going to that in 2019.
No,
and
so
it's
cool.
Special because, you know, like, it just, seriously, there are musicians and performers and dancers that just, you'll never, this is just, it's iconic, unique, and
awesome.
Yeah,
that's so
golden.
Awesome.
It's special, and I hope it comes back. Where are we on that, Arlene, do you think, or Kelly, in regards to that festival? Do you think it will come back in 2022 or online for 2021?
We're waiting to hear what's going to happen for this year, but you know that's one of my favorite events here in Nashville.
Yeah.
It always has
oh my
been
God.
for decades. Of course, it's always held in July, which is a hot time of the year, but it's in an air-conditioned, you know, Prather Coliseum on the grounds at Northwestern State University. So, but we're waiting to hear their announcement, what their plans are going to be for future festivals coming up.
Oh,
I know they
man.
Were doing a video series. They got a grant to do this a video series, and hoping that is out there, maybe it is, but everyone, again, Natchitoches.com, Natchitoches.com to keep up with everything. So we've talked about Briarwood, again, briarwoodnp.org, definitely a place during the summer. Richard, open on weekends and then schedule appointments and tours during the week?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. We're open Saturdays, March, April, May, October, November. We're open those months. And we're open Saturdays 9 to 5, Sundays noon to 5, weekday and off-season tours by appointment.
Okay. Very cool. And do it. Mm-hmm. It is really awesome. A magic place. And there are skinks. And there are all these beautiful flowers and the meadows. There's the meadows. I mean, when we were there, that meadow in bloom all the time.
Mm-hmm. It is starting in March. We've got something
that
starts blooming, and we'll have things in bloom all the way through until the first good killing frost, which usually takes place around the end of October, 1st of November. At that time, we mow it and get it ready for the next year.
You mow the meadow? How can you mow the meadow?
You got to sow the seeds.
No, ouch. Dude, you're hurting me.
You have to get in there and scatter the seeds out there and spread the seeds for the plants so they can have more of them to come up, as well as by mowing it, you knock down the taller late spring, summer plants so that when the bulbs, which are kind of a nod to Caroline Dorman and her sister Virginia, they had a bulb farm here. Up until about 1928, and so that gives it room for those guys to come up, and then as soon as they finish up, here come the Louisiana Blue Stars, the Adamasco Lilies, followed by the Sweet Yellow Cone Flowers, and the Golden Rods, and then the fall blooming sunflowers and so forth like that. So, yeah, we got some
going
on all the time.
I want to come back. I want to come work. I want to come back. I work on vacation.
Absolutely.
I do. I want to get my hands dirty. I started weeding where we were here in Lubbock. I started weeding and getting my hands dirty. I was like, it feels so good. And of course, I had a glass of wine in my hand while I was doing it.
Exactly.
If you're going to weed, you're going to have wine. She's a one-hand weeder. No, I'm not. I mean, she's like, you're not pulling. You're pulling it from the top. You got to pull the root out.
I know
if you're going to do it.
I know. I'm like, get the root. So you.
Yeah, Nancy's just sitting there with her wine, telling me what to do. It's great.
Exactly.
But, let's go into summertime, and you know, Arlene, May is a big deal. Travel and Tourism Week this year. So important.
Yes.
You know. I you know, it's such a different thing. Everyone is worried. There's vaccines out. Some people don't want them. It's such a mixed bag. And basically, you want to say to the world, like I do, like, travel when you feel right. Be responsible.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the travel and tourism and hospitality industries really need support.
Mm-hmm.
And we need
well,
this
I mean,
year more important than ever. That's
well, you know, when you think of your own local community and the economy, mm-hmm. I mean, tourism is the economic engine, you know, that drives, mm-hmm. You know, and stimulates. But you know, last year, you know, the theme for last year was Spirit of Travel, and this year we're going to start a new chapter. It's the Power of Travel.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping to drive recovery and help define our country's way forward, because we really were set back so far when everything mm-hmm. came to a screeching halt.
Yes.
And I know that, you know, when I travel, I just feel so much better, you know,
mm-hmm.
getting out and learning new things and new cultures and being around, you know, people and just, you know, I mean, travel is healthy for everyone, too,
mm-hmm.
you know, in their own way. But again, too, like you said, you have to be responsible and you have to be aware of, you know, what's still going on. I mean, you know, the virus is still out there, you know.
Right.
Shots, I mean, more and more people are getting the shots and the vaccines, and, you know, people are still cautioned with social distancing and wearing the mask. And
mm-hmm.
Hopefully, you know, in time, sooner rather than later, we can kind of get back to some normality and start celebrating travel and tourism, you know, the way it should be celebrated.
Exactly. I think based on our experience, and we've had a lot of flack for us keep traveling during the COVID thing,
mm-hmm.
That we travel responsibly. We're extremely cautious. We wear our masks. We wash
mm-hmm.
our hands.
Just
like my mama taught me. Well, we, you know, when I was raised here in Africa, and it was like, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash
mm-hmm.
your hands, wash your hands. It's really not that different. You know, it is just about thinking things through instead of being automatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, just the economic impact of travel and tourism, people don't realize, you know, with since COVID, travel spending, and this is just some talking points from our, you know, mm-hmm. National Travel and Tourism Week notes, but travel spending is down nearly $500 billion,
mm-hmm. yeah,
billion, costing the U.S. economy more than $1 trillion, you know,
mm-hmm.
and even travel-supported jobs have fallen by 34% from 17 million jobs in the travel industry in 2019
mm-hmm.
to just 11 million in 2020. So it's kind of like, you know, it's a recovery. It's going to be, you know, a slow start, but we have to get started somewhere. So we're hoping that, you know, in time, the right measures will be in place and people can move again in a health and safety way and put Americans back to work and,
mm-hmm.
you know, get back to living and traveling and, you know, being a tourist, you know.
Exactly.
You know, having an adventure.
It's about it boils down to change your habits.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Change your habits. Is it that hard that you can't change your habits? You have to always do what you always done. Change your habits. So you wash your hands, you wear a mask, you're cautious, and you think before you just react.
Well,
but
it becomes more mindful.
Changing your habits.
Become
more mindful
traveler. I want to give a shout out. I know I say this on so many shows, but the rest areas have really cleaned up their act across the country.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Safer,
mm-hmm.
cleaner, don't let so many people in at one time.
Mm-hmm.
The parks, you know, everybody is really aware, and I feel like as bad as it's been for the tourism industry, it's also made us all look about how we can improve, it's a new standard in a way,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
it's a pain in the butt, but it's true. And
pain in the butt.
But I mean, it's harder is what I mean, you know. And at the same time, like, we've been in Natchitoches. We were in Natchitoches in 2019 and 2020. I don't know what it is, but every time we end up in the same time of year in Natchitoches, it's kind of like this anniversary, like, a visit. But, you know, we did things. We went to restaurants. We were all safe. We stayed, you know, at Holiday Inn the last trip, you know, everybody was very aware of how to do things. And you could feel safe when you go to the right places that are adhering to standards. And I don't think anyone's going to jump into the non-standard boat because it's not good for anybody. And most businesses in the tourism industry, especially restaurants, hotels, they don't want their staff to be hurt either. So if they don't want their staff to be hurt, they don't want you to be hurt. So they have to all be in places like, we, you know, Richard with Briarwood, that's a safer place, too. We need to look at the outdoors, but be out there and be responsible. You know,
absolutely.
The outdoors,
yeah, outdoors, I mean, you know, maintain your distance, enjoy the fresh air and sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You can pull your mask down if you're 6 feet away, you know, or stay away from groups. You can get your breath. I mean, it sucks. The mask thing sucks, but you can do it. You can do it for those little spells and then take your breath over here, you know, on the queen side, you know. You can manage it. Kelly, I want to go back to you because summer is so cool. Everybody wants outside. Social distancing. We talked about kayaking, but you're a mom and you've got kids that you take out and they have to like really dig a place to keep their attention going. So we've talked about Lost Treasure Mining Company. Is that something you would say for this summer folks to go to in, you know, late spring, summer?
Definitely, definitely. They are open and they've already seen families coming in. And yes, my kids loved it. And it's something that they don't mind going again and again and again, over and over again. So we will definitely be hitting that up, as well as the Natchitoches Alligator Park, which is now open 7 days a week.
And all so year long. Yeah.
Yes, year round.
So the other thing, too, Lost Treasure Mining Company, you're digging for, you know, gems and everything, which is cool, and arrowheads, and it comes off of sluice. It's like this old school thing, you know. You feel like you're in one of those movies. Harrison Ford movies, right? And your hands, the kids' hands are in water, so, you know what I mean, and you can't distance them. Their hands are being cleaned the whole time, so there's a lot to do there. Are the, you know, we talked about the heritage area and, you know, no man's land. Is the Cane River National Heritage Area still doing their walking tours?
They are. They're doing them Wednesday through Saturday, so they've got a couple of different tour times that they're doing them. Yes. So carrying those on as long as the weather's nice outside, and free, complimentary, and it's a great overview of downtown and of Natchitoches Historic District.
And No Man's Land. It's like if you want to know the history of Louisiana, go on one. It's super cool. It's really fascinating. Also, Kelly, I know the Sail on the Trail is this epic event that goes on the El Camino Real, goes from Natchitoches all the way through East Texas, where people, you know, basically, here's this, you know, highway of yard sales. Is that happening this year?
Cool. It is. It is. It is May 7th and 8th, all along the trail. We've been having new vendors signing up, so people are definitely not just wanting to attend, but new vendors are wanting to participate as well. And so we're super excited about this year's event. It's going to be a really busy weekend, obviously, with lots of vendors all along the 111 miles from Natchitoches, Louisiana, over to Natchitoches, Texas.
Cool. Everybody, and we've done that route. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to say it right. You know what I'm talking about, the mounds. The swale.
The Lovell Swale.
That's it. You've got to go. That's cool. That's like ancient history sitting there, the swales.
Yes, definitely.
The swales
definitely.
On the trail.
Yeah, the swales on the trail.
Sorry. But it's true.
Okay.
Because that's like ancient, they're like ancient, it's like an ancient pathway, basically, right? When you go out there. It's like, it's ancient. You have to do it. When you drive on that El Camino Real, and by the way, when you even get to Texas, like every historic marker, Nancy and I did the trail from Natchitoches to Natchitoches, and you could be pulling over every 2 minutes and see something new. All the little towns, Fort Jessup, you know, you've got all the, I mean, there's just so much, and it really takes a no man's land, and you just,
it's amazing. So then when you have everybody coming out with the sail and the trail, it's got to be epic. And it's on Mother's Day weekend. So if you're thinking about what to do with Mom, you could do this.
Hello.
This would be good. Well, we'll be in Madison, Wisconsin, Nancy. I'm sorry, but we can swing by through Louisiana on our way back to Oregon. How about that? I know. Kelly's like, no, we'll swing by. I'm serious. We'll swing by. Like, we'll do a drive through on our way to. It will be after the sail and the trail, but we'll do a swing by and go hi. You know, we won't do it in Shreveport. Next time we'll just come through at 3 in the morning in Natchitoches and see if you guys are awake. You know, just say, can we have a gas food, station food? You could do it. See, that's the other thing. That's another good thing.
I keep telling this. I want to stop at every historic marker, that because there's so many. And then there's 2,597 historic markers in this country, and I want to stop at every one and read them.
And every one of them.
Oh my gosh! There's
you don't
not
want to miss
line.
Anything, do you?
No, we can't. We can't. And I'm excited about the Jefferson Trail, too, that highway. I think that's something we're going to do that.
Jefferson Highway, yeah.
We're going to do that. It's on our list now, Arlene. It happened. But we want to thank you guys for joining us. It's always so cool to hear about one of our favorite places and that life is going on and moving forward as always. So, everyone, the website's, again, Natchitoches.com. It's Natchitoches. Like Natchitoches.com. And then also, you want to keep up with Briarwood, go to briarwoodnp.org. So Briarwood for Nature Preserve, briarwoodnp.org. And keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Thank you all for joining us. It's been awesome having you on the show. We're going to close with some music. Because of the forest, we're going to have to play a forest song for you guys. I know we always play swampy Louisiana music, but today we're going to play a forest song. It's called Maury. It's Maury Forest Song, and it's by Yuna, off of the album Yuna, by Yagle. And it's a husband and wife duo out of New York, but it's a beautiful, beautiful song. So here it is, Maury the Forest Song. Thank you all for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
Take care.